Sure need the Lord tonight. Ask for your prayers. I'd like for you to turn with me to begin in the book of Exodus. Exodus, the third chapter. I'd like to present the burden that the Lord has given me to you in the form of a question for you to consider. Who is God to you? Third chapter of Exodus, I'd like to read here in the setting of the Lord meeting with Moses, talking to him out of the burning bush. We know the account. Moses heard the voice and the Lord called to him. The Lord gave him his commission and his call of what he was to do, and he felt overwhelmed by that. Said, "Who am I to do such a thing, to be able to go and do what you've commissioned or you told me to do?" And I'd like to read here where the Lord answering Moses says in the sixth verse, "Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob." And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. The Lord said, "I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land, and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites." Like to skip down to the 12th verse. "And he said, Certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I am come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers hath sent me unto you. And they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shall thou say unto the children of Israel, I am, hath sent me unto you." Moses, as you're going, and no doubt Moses felt a little bit of intimidation here. Lord, I can picture this in my mind. As I go back to the people and I tell them this bondage that you've been under for 400 years, you're going to be delivered out from under it now. There's going to be one that's coming to deliver you and raise you up. Lord, they're going to ask, how am I to know this? Give me some kind of sign. Who is this that's telling us? He said, you tell them that the God of your fathers, the God that fought for your fathers, the God that of the stories that you've heard passed down to you, of what he did for Abraham, for Joseph, what he did for Jacob, the God of your fathers is the same God that's coming and talking to you here. And I'm still able, by the same power that I worked on their behalf, I'm still able to work on yours. I'm still able, and I want us to realize we read through the Bible of account after account after account of God's miraculous intervention on behalf of His people. Where He comes in and moves and works, but this is 4,000 years summarized into the Bible. You know, I don't believe that it was every day that they saw a miraculous working like that. Just in my mind, I suspect that it wasn't all the time, and it had been 400 some years that they had been in captivity. This God that I've heard about, tell me more about him. You go and tell him, Moses, I am that I am. You don't need to justify who I am. Who I am and my power does not stand on your ability to go reason on my behalf, to go make a case for me and my power. I am that I am. I have all power in heaven and earth. I draw my power from no other. I ask permission for no other to be able to work on your behalf. And I want to call back to your mind the works that I did for your fathers, the things and the ways that I've worked for them that you've heard about, that it might inspire your faith to know that I too, in this time, in this circumstance, am able to come to your rescue and deliver you. And so it was that he came unto the children of Israel and said, I am, has sent me. The children of Israel's perception of God, I wonder what it was. that time they had been in captivity for that long space of time, the Lord desired. He said, I've seen the captivity of my people. I've heard their cries, and I want to go and show myself unto them. I want to go and reveal myself unto my people, that they too can see my working and my hand. Oh, the Lord told the children of Israel, I will be to you a God, and you'll be to me a people. I will be the one that goes before you to fight your battles for you. I'll be very near. I'll be very present. You'll be able to see my workings in your life and among your midst. You know, I would tonight ask us, who is God to us? What does He mean to us? Not the head knowledge that I have of God, not the scriptures that I know that says God is love, but what is it that He's revealed unto my heart and my life? Beyond the head knowledge, beyond what I know in my mind of who He is, but what is it that's been revealed to my heart? Where the Lord comes down and says, I am the God of your fathers. I'm still the same God. I still have the same power. And He's desiring today in 2012 to show Himself and to reveal His glory to us as He has in times past. I believe that. I believe in the church today the Lord still desires to reveal His glory. And beyond that, in a very personal way, I believe the Lord wants to reveal Himself and His glory and His power. That it's not secondhand knowledge. It's not something that I've heard passed down. It's not just stories that I've told. But that same God, the same stories that you've heard, that I heard this morning of Brother Jim. Different ones of the older saints, some I knew and some I didn't. But yet, their testimony lives on. That I'd be able to know the God of those brothers and sisters is still the same God. He's able, I don't have to just rely upon the stories that I hear from them. I don't have to, and I thank the Lord for the resources. We can go back, we have literature that we can read back of saints of old, of how the Lord divinely intervened in their lives, of how He led them, of how He directed them, of how He gave them understanding and healing. But you know, we don't have to just rely upon that. We don't have to just look back on the experiences of others. Who is God to us? Is He still that same God in our lives? I believe that He desires to be. I'd like to look at the 14th chapter of the book of Exodus. Just a little further down now, when the Lord had come and shown Himself to Pharaoh, to the Egyptians, to the Israelites there by plagues and all that the Lord did. And He told them that now is the time that you go up, and they were going by the way of the Red Sea as the Lord had designed. And it came down to the time that the Egyptians were coming up behind them. They had the Red Sea before them, and they had the cloud of dust coming up that meant the Egyptians are right behind. I'm in a place now here. What do we do? And the Lord said through Moses, fear not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will show you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. But I'd like to take note of the 20th verse. 19th and 20th. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. Now take notice of what was happening here. The Lord said, as you go up into the land, I'll be a cloud before you. And that will be a manifest token of my presence. And I'll go by night, I'll be a pillar of fire that you'll be able to see. You'll be able to know that I am among you. You'll be able to know the direction to go by following that. But in this instance, it says that the cloud removed and it went behind them, between them and the Egyptians. The Lord throughout that all had their well-being in mind. And that was part of His design. It says here that it was a cloud and darkness to them, the Egyptians. But it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all night. To the two different parties, groups of people, this same God was altogether different in how they approached Him and how they saw Him. To one, to the Israelites, to the ones that feared God, He was a light. He was the power of God unto them. To the others, it was just a cloud and darkness. I can't see through it. I can't understand. I can't go past this point. You know, the Lord, if we will be obedient to Him, If we'll follow in this same way that He's prescribed throughout the generations for us to follow, you know the Lord will be to us a light. And His presence will be evident in our lives. His presence and His guidance and direction to show us individually the way that I need to go. But if I refuse and rebel, the Egyptians had had the Lord show them time after time of His power, and yet still they believed not. To them, it was darkness. To us as well, the same God of love and of light, should we turn and go the other direction, will be unto us as darkness. Will be unto us as a cloud of darkness that's something against us, that I can't see through, I can't understand, I can't perceive it. And it's a hindrance. The Scripture talks about Jesus being a rock of stumbling and a stone of offense, a stumbling stone for those who stumble at who He is. But unto those that believe, it is the power of God unto salvation. And so along this question, who is God to you? Is He an enemy? You know, that's a hard concept to grasp. This God being a God that is an enemy. But the Lord told the children of Israel, if you go up and you follow Me and you set your hearts to follow Me, then I'll fight for you and I'll fight your battles. But if you don't, then I'll stand against you. I'll be against you. You know, that's one place that we never want to be in. For the Lord, in every direction and every way that I try to go, He puts a block right there. He's against, and everything that I do is against what He wants to do. You know, that's a frustrating place to be in. The Scripture talks about those that oppose themselves. In everything that I do, in every effort that I put forth, I can't get anywhere. The book of Haggai, the Lord told His people, you go and you build up your own houses, sealed houses, and yet My house lies desolate. Your focus is upon your own life and your own needs. You've forgotten that is the very most important in your life and your worship to Me. And because of that, I'll blow on what you do. Whenever you take and you put money in bags, it won't last. It'll be a bag with holes. Whenever you plant, I'll stay the rain from above you. There's nothing that we can do when the Lord stays the rain. There's nothing that Ahab could do when for 3.5 years the Lord held back the rain. We are so dependent on the Lord and His blessings upon our life and His leadings and direction. Perhaps beyond, as it was mentioned a little earlier, more than I even realized. Maybe I don't even realize the great extent to which I need God in my life. But if I turn from Him, He'll oppose me. He'll oppose every way that I go. Everything that I try to do, the Lord, in a sense, will fight against me. Is He to us a nuisance? Thought about Saul. Find it in the 9th chapter of Acts. And he was on the road to Damascus, and a great light shone, and a voice out of heaven. He said, Lord, who art Thou? Who is it that You are? Reveal Yourself to me. Speak to me. Saul, it's Jesus Christ whom thou persecutest. It's hard for you to kick against the pricks. It's hard for you to kick against the goad. That saying, it meant to kick against the goad, to foolishly override the prodding and the checks and the dealings, to go at your own peril and at the hazard of your own life, to kick against that and to push against that. You know how many people today are running in every way they can against the Lord. Running, and the Lord's trying to call them back, and it's a nuisance to me. Every time I go out and I have the way that I want to live, I have the things that I want to do, and I go try to do it. Brother Larry mentioned when he went out and sinned, he couldn't enjoy it the same way that everyone else did. There was something that drew him back. Is He a nuisance to us? Whenever I want to go live life the way I want to live it, and there's something that tugs at me. Oh, I don't like it. I want to keep going, but it's a prick to me. It's something that tries to draw me back. Reminded of some dogs that we had. Maybe you've heard the story. Some dogs that kept getting out into the neighbors, eating the duck eggs and causing all kinds of trouble. And so I put an invisible fence in and a collar on them. Tried to train them, tried to go through the steps that you have to go through. And I found that over time it didn't work. They'd get a little closer and a little closer to that line, and that collar would begin to beep. If First it would beep and it would vibrate, and if they kept going, it would begin to shock them. Well, they would stand back and take off and run through that, and it would beep. And it would sting for a little bit, but yet soon the sting of that was gone. The dogs never were able to learn. Never were able to understand. This thing is for my own good. This thing is for my own survival, really. Never was able to understand. All I know is there was something that I tasted of, a duck egg. I want it again. I want to go after it. And I don't care if this thing's pulling back on me. I don't care if it causes a stinging, because eventually I'll get beyond the reach of it. You know, that is one of the most fearful places that we could get in. That I get to the point that I'm determined to live my way. I'm determined that I don't care if I feel the check. I don't care if I feel the prick. I want to live this way. I want to indulge in this thing in my life. And I override it. And I override it. And I can get to the place that that nuisance becomes less and less and less. Until I don't hear that voice. Until I don't feel that prick. Scripture talks about those that have their conscience seared with a hot iron. It's hardened. I don't have the sensitivity that I one time had. Lord, help us to be tender to the dealings of God. What is God to you? Is He an afterthought? Is He a convenience or an inconvenience? If I have time, I'll fit Him in. If it's convenient for me. If I don't have anything else going on Sunday or on Wednesday, I'll consider coming to service. If I have nothing better to do, Jesus said, put out to you that kind of mindset, you cannot be my disciple. Unless you're willing to forsake all. Unless you're willing to take and sell all that you have and make this the number one priority in my life. And people wonder, I've tried this before and it hasn't worked. There must not be anything to it. But I'd venture to say, you sell all. You give yourself wholly to this thing. Make it the first and foremost priority and desire that you have. And the Lord, He it is that will go before you. We'll fight your battles for you. The Lord doesn't want to be an afterthought or a convenience. Something that in time of emergency, I call on Him. Whenever there are so many people I hear in times of distress, whenever they find out they have cancer, whenever a child or a family member is in a wreck or something, pray for me, oh God. And they begin calling out upon God. I'm thankful God's a merciful God. But you know He wants more than that from our lives. He wants to hear from us before those times happen. He doesn't want to be that I pull out of my pocket when I need Him. And when I don't need Him, when I don't feel my need and life's going well, I put Him back in for use at another time, whenever it's convenient for me. I'd like to look at the book of Genesis. There are many people, I believe today, that have a false image in their mind of who God is. I'd like to look at Genesis 3. The first verse, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said that you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. The enemy is ever present to try to present to my mind an image of God that's not true. An image of who He is that is not accurate. This same God that had walked with Him and communed with Him in the cool of the evening. The enemy began to plant seeds of doubt. This God that you've known, don't you know He has a different motive than what you thought? You ever have the enemy come and say those kind of things to you? If the Lord loved you, if He truly loved, and trying to plant a little bit of doubt of who God is, a little bit of doubt of His motive behind it. Don't you know, Eve, that the only reason that God said that is because, oh, He's a God that doesn't want you to have the wisdom. He's trying to withhold from you. He's trying to hide something from you. He doesn't want you to attain this level. But I also want us to take notice this thing that the enemy was presenting this to her mind for was something that her flesh desired. It was something that it said, went on to say when she saw that the tree was good and that it looked beautiful and it was pleasant to the eyes, then the enemy had that image there of God. That it's not what you thought. It's not the God that you thought that He was. You know, the enemy would like to present to our minds an image of God that is not true to accommodate a way that I want to live. To accommodate something that I want to take on in my life. And He'll be there to present an image of God that is a false image of who He is. To justify. You ever heard someone say, well, God wants me to be happy. Many times to justify something that goes directly contrary to the Word of God. But I don't think that God could be that way. I don't think that God wants me to live my life unhappy. Surely the Lord will make allowance for me here. Surely the Lord sees my situation in life. And He's a God of mercy. And He wants me to be happy. Lord, help us to know who God is. To know His person. To know the God that we are to serve. Galatians 6 and 7 said, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. I am the same God yesterday, today, and forever. His law hasn't changed. His word has not changed. And I deceive myself to convince myself otherwise. I deceive myself to think that this God will make allowance for this thing in my life because He wants me to be happy. That's the enemy trying to present an image of God that is not true. That is not the entire picture. You know, I fear many people are willing and content to take a second-hand account of who God is. A second-hand account from those that would tickle the ears. Those that would tell them that God wants you to be happy. God's not going to choose you to separate from, just to be open about it, a man. I've heard this. God's not going to force you to separate from the man that you love. God wants you to be happy. You see the extent to which that goes? And we think that's a little extreme. But that's the enemy. And bringing people to the place that they've deceived their own minds to believe and to justify this thing in my life. Oh, God wants me to be happy. I know that the Scripture's there in Romans. I know that it's there, but I have to believe that God is a God that loves me and a God that wants the best for me and wants me to be able to have enjoyment in life. And that's where I find enjoyment. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. I thought of the Scripture in Romans 3. Romans 3 and 3. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Yea, let God be true, but every man a liar. As it is written, thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. If there are some that should say, and if I come to the place that I create in my mind an image of who I want God to be, an image of who I'd like to think that God is. You know, I use a very simple, perhaps crude illustration. You ever seen in a mall or something those Build-A-Bear shops? Walked in there for the children and you can go in and you can choose which animal you want, the stuffing that you want, the decorations and the clothes and all that. And you go around picking what you want. You know, when it comes to God, this isn't a Build-A-Bear workshop. I can't take and choose and pick who I want God to be. Who I think in my mind, I create in my mind an image of God that accommodates what I want to believe that He is. The Lord wants to reveal Himself to us for who He truly is. If I should not believe, it doesn't change who God is. Moses, I am who I am. I am that I am. I change not. Your unbelief or the children of the Egyptians, that doesn't change who I am. It hasn't changed my person and my sovereignty. I am that I am. Thought of Romans 6 and 1. That a teaching that's prevalent in our world today. Because our God is a God of grace. And you know that's true. He's a God of grace and a God of mercy. But the scripture in Romans 6 and 1 says, what shall we say then? And the preceding verses deals with the grace of God. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Shall I continue in a lifestyle because I've heard all God's love? God's merciful and His grace abounds. But what that tends to do, when I create that image of God in my mind, whenever I transgress against Him, whenever I feel that prick and I realize, you know, if I do that over and over, oh, God's a merciful God. There's no repercussion to it. His grace covers it. Shall we then continue in sin? Shall we then continue in that lifestyle? God forbid. There's something more than that. What begins to happen is sin begins to lose its exceeding sinfulness to me. The thing that once hurt so badly to know I've transgressed God's law, I've displeased Him over and over by having in my mind that this God is a God of love and a God that doesn't hold upon me a requirement to live a life above sin, I begin to take away the sting of sin that was to come by the law. I'd like for us to consider also the next verse we didn't read there of Adam and Eve. What happened immediately after that when they partook of the fruit? It says, then their eyes were opened, and they realized that they were unclothed. And then they heard the Lord coming through. And you notice the difference that took place in who God was to them. The God that they had no shame before to be able to walk with. And there was no reason to hide. There was no reason to fear. Now there's something that's changed that whole picture. Now there's something that's come between me and Him. And they went and they hid themselves from Him. Oh, what a blessing it is to be able, this God, to be a near God. Amen. To be able to know when I lay my head down. Yes. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Right. Whenever the Lord comes and talks to me, I don't have to hide from it. I don't have to be afraid of it. I don't have to try to run from it. But I can welcome it now. Yes. Lord, I love the sweet sound of Thy voice. I want to be able to hear it. The times in the evening, the quiet times, when the Lord comes and talks to me and says, Clint. And I realized then this is something personal. The Lord came and met my need. The Lord came and visited me. The Lord wants that for every one of us. The Lord doesn't want there to be fear. Doesn't want there to be something when that God is something to fear. Something to have to hide from and be ashamed from. But the Lord wants to be a very nigh God unto every one of us. At a time a failure. You know the enemy will take advantage of that as well. This, you ever have the enemy try to bring a sense of hopelessness to you? This mistake that you've made, you know God's not going to give you opportunity again. You know that God has thought of the parable. The servant that received one talent and he went and hid it in the earth. Whenever the Lord came back, he came and presented his one talent and said, Lord, I knew thee. That thou were a hard man. And so I went and I hid the one talent that you gave me. The image that I have of God should not be one that He's a God that I can never please. He's a God that I can never reach the place that He's satisfied with my life. By the grace of God and by the blood of Christ, I can. You know, our surroundings and our upbringings can influence the perception we have of God. Thought of the young man that Brother Tony's talked about. I'm sure that he could probably testify to that. The image that I have of a father. The image or the lack of a father in my life. My upbringings and my surroundings. It can have a bearing on how I look at God. You know, with all those aside, the Lord wants to reveal Himself to us for who He really is. The Lord wants to show Himself to every one of us for the God that He really is. 86th chapter of the book of Psalms. Psalms 86. For Thou, Lord, art good, and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. You know, that's not an image that the enemy will give you. That's not a picture of God that the enemy will present to your mind. But our God is a good God, and He's ready to forgive. You know, He stands with outstretched arms, waiting for me to make the move to Him, wanting to reveal Himself to me, wanting to be able to have that time where He can commune, that there's not sin in the way that puts a separation. I believe the Lord desires and longs for that from every one of us. And He's plenteous of mercy, ready to forgive and extend mercy and pardon to every one of us. I want to encourage us this evening to get to know God. If I have a picture of God that perhaps has been a hindrance, if God is to me a nuisance, a convenience, if He's something that I have to fear, the Lord wants to reveal Himself to every one of us for who He truly is. Oh, I thought of where Paul on Mars Hill went by and beheld an inscription that said to the unknown God. And he said, "Oh, Him that ye ignorantly serve, I want to declare to you. I want to declare a God to you that you don't have to serve and not understand. You don't have to serve Him and not know who you're serving. But we can, as the Scripture says, I pray with the understanding. I have an understanding in my spirit of who it is that I'm praying, that who it is that I'm coming before. Because He's revealed Himself unto me. He's shown Himself unto me in a very personal way. By revelation, He's shown me of who He is." That is the foundation of our faith. Paul, I believe it was, said that I know in whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded that He's able to keep that I've committed unto Him against that day. I know Him. That is the foundation of my faith. Whenever I come unto the Lord, whenever I bring myself and I throw myself before Him, Lord, I believe that You're good. Lord, I believe, as the Scripture says in Hebrews 11:6, those that come to God must believe that He is. And that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Lord, I believe that. I believe that's who You are. Lord, I believe, and that is the foundation that my faith is built upon. When I don't understand, whenever I go through things in life that I cannot perceive, I go back to that revelation, Lord, of who You are. Lord, I know You love me. You've shown me. You've revealed Yourself to me. Lord, I know that You want the best for me in my life. That's a foundation that I have. The Lord wants to be to every one of us a very close and personal God. Yes. And a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Yes. He wants to be to us the God that He was to our fathers. He wants to show Himself in healings, in visitations, in revelation to each one of us as well. To be very near and very personal to us. He wants to be the one that fights our battles. Oh, and I've heard the testimonies of what the Lord's done for others. I can have that same testimony for myself. Lord, now I see You fought my battles. You're the one that goes before me to fight my battles as well. Scripture says, be still and know that I am God. To me, it's saying, be still and let me be God. Be still and let me be the God that I am. I'm standing ready to show myself to you, to reveal myself. You don't have to have a veil that obscures your vision anymore. But now with open face, you can behold the glory of the Lord. Now I can look upon it. And not only that, but I can be transformed from glory to glory into that same image as I'm with Him. You know, I thought of misunderstandings often come through lack of communication. You know, the same way with the Lord. Misunderstandings of who He is, of what He's trying to do, will come from a lack of communication with Him. A lack of keeping up that relationship with Him. So I want to encourage us this evening, and ask again the question, who is God to you? What does He mean to you in your life? What is the place that you've put Him in your life? The Lord wants to reveal Himself to us very near and personal. You pray for me. Yeah.